As Matt said earlier, my name is Caleb and I am one of the pastors here at TBC. It is so good to have you with us. And this morning we are talking about Palm Sunday, the day where we celebrate Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Obviously, Palm Sunday is usually celebrated closer to Easter, but this is when the passage falls in our sermon series on the cradle, cross and crown. One thing I need from you guys, as I'm reading out the first part of this passage, is whenever I say, the crowd shouts, or the crowd says, there'll be some words that come up on the screen, and I need you guys to shout them out very, very loudly, okay? You think you can do that for me? Yeah? Awesome. Thank you. So this is Matthew 21. Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your kingdom comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered,
"This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Awesome. Good work, guys. "Hosanna in the highest. Praise be to the Saviour on high." There was enormous excitement when Jesus entered Jerusalem. The people worshipped him. They lay their cloaks and tree branches down before him. What a wonderful occasion. "The prophet from Nazareth has come to town. The Son of David is here, a guest worthy of all honour." I can imagine people pushing to the front of the crowd to see him. "Get out of my way, I have to see this person." Such urgency and praise show the significance of such an event. Only few were greeted in such a way. There were also rumors of this person spreading round the nation. Stories of his miracles had spread. I heard he has time for people like me and you. I heard the love he shows is not artificial. It actually means something. I heard he eats with sinners. What have you heard? Well, I heard he speaks for God. I heard he has time for people like me and you. And I heard he even has the power to heal people. Jesus wasn't like others supposedly appointed by God. He wasn't like the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, who preferred to separate themselves from others. He did the opposite of what people expected. Jesus is worthy of praise. He came as a servant, prepared to lay down his life for all creation. There were others in the city who did not know this Jesus. They had not heard about him. "Who is this person?" they asked. "What's all the big fuss about?" The crowd's response, as you shouted out before, shows the excitement and desire to be there and to witness such an occasion. "Have you not heard? He is the prophet, the Savior, the King of heaven. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven." What a joyous day it is when Jesus comes to town. Let me continue on with the story. And this time, this is a special job just for the children. So when I say, the children, shout it out. There'll be some words that come up on the screen, and I just want the children to say it, okay? You think you can do that for me, children?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturns tables. Of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, saying, awesome. They were indignant. They were angry. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read? From the lips of the children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And Jesus then left them and went out to the city of Bethany, where he spent the night. In this part of the passage, Jesus has now entered the holy city. And where does he go? He goes to the temple. The temple is a central part of the city. It is where the Jewish people held festivals and went to pray. People from all around the region, near or far, would come whenever there was a festival. The temple was a place where people could come and feel the presence of God. When Jesus arrived at the temple, he was shocked. What on earth are you doing? What have you done? The temple had been turned into a shop, a place for people to make the quick buck, a den of robbers, as he describes it. This was not supposed to be that way. The Lord's house, the temple, was being abused by this misuse. The Lord's house is not a shop. It is a wharikarakia, a house of prayer. And these are the words that, for those who know their pipiha or have shared their pipiha, these are the words that you would use to describe the church you belong to, your house of prayer, your wharikarakia. It is an important part of your identity. The church you belong to meet there. The temple for the people of Jerusalem had the same significance, and yet it was being defiled. Jesus got so mad he started flipping furniture. He overturned the tables and spoke out against what was happening in his house. I could imagine how tense this moment was as people watched Jesus get so angry. Later in the passage, after things had de-escalated and the salespeople had cleared off, we see again Jesus healing and the excitement of the children. The children had so much joy as they believed in who Jesus was and praised him. Hosanna to the Son of David. This excitement and what was happening at the temple gave the chief priests and teachers of law a frowny face. They didn't like what was happening. They once again rejected the social outcasts, the weak and the vulnerable, the children. And they also rejected Christ. After all they had heard and seen, they saw these things straight in front of them, and yet they still rejected Jesus. Tough crowd. The final part of the story that I'm now going to read to you brings us to the next day, where Jesus woke up in the city of Bethany. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city of Jerusalem, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree on the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, But also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jesus enters the temple courts later that day, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, Jesus, they asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied to them, I will also ask you a question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven, or was it of human origin? They discussed it amongst themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Have you ever, going back to the story before he's in Jerusalem with the fig tree, have you ever cursed a tree before that didn't produce fruit? Have you gone out into your garden and saw that the apple tree had no fruit on it and be like, may you never bear fruit again? No? If you owned an orchard, the tree that didn't produce fruit would be pretty pointless sitting in your orchard. You'd probably want to get rid of it. But why did Jesus cause this fig tree to wither? Why did he say, may you never bear fruit again? The disciples watching him were amazed. How did you do that? It's not normal. Jesus responds to them with a call to faith. He never explains why he cursed the fig tree, apart from the fact that it did not bear fruit. Jesus says to his disciples, have faith and do not doubt. Faith is something that does not come easily. The Bible tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Seeing is everything, though, isn't it? We have to see things to believe in them. The Bible also says, with faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. If you have faith, you will do greater things than these. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. We can have confidence in approaching God that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. Scripture tells us all these things about faith, and yet doubt still creeps in, as we saw in this story, even when they were able to see things right in front of them. The chief priests and elders questioned the authority of Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked. They wanted to trap him. The chief priests had sole jurisdiction over the temple, and the authority to conduct business there in the temple came from them. The question they asked Jesus really had no acceptable answer as far as they were concerned. They were wanting to incriminate Jesus and get rid of him. Jesus answers them with a counter question, one that, similar to their question, couldn't really be answered without making them look bad. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? This question takes us back to Jesus' baptism. The baptism where John baptized Jesus that we heard about a couple of weeks ago. This question caused the chief priests and elders to stumble because they did not believe in Jesus' authority as the Son of God. Jesus has all authority from God and passes authority onto us. When he sent out his disciples into the world, he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is with us, as it says at the end of the Great Commission. He is with us till the very end of the age. His faithfulness to us abounds even when we cannot see it. Some of the church currently have joined up to the YouVersion Bible in 90 Days plan and are reading currently through the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. One of the things that I have noticed from reading these first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, is the faithfulness of God to his people, regardless of whether they notice it or not. There is so many times where God provides, and yet they turn the opposite direction. They look the other way. There are so many things in our world today that point to the Creator of all things, and yet we struggle to see it. We are making our way currently through the book of Matthew in this sermon series, The Cradle, Cross, and Crown. And one thing that I have noticed is that it is so clear to see the faithfulness of God in sending his son Jesus, who fulfilled God's promises. And yet, as we've seen with the chief priests and elders, people still turn in the opposite direction. Let me ask you today, I'm going to just go through different parts of this passage, and I wonder whether any of them relate to you today. Are you the crowd, rejoicing and shouting praises to the Lord, Hosanna in the highest? Are you feeling overjoyed with his presence this morning and want to sing and shout his name so that all the heavens and earth can hear you? Today, are you the people who are living in the city who don't know much about Jesus? You've heard about him, and so you have come to this morning's church service to find out more. You have doubts and questions about following Jesus, but you are intrigued and curious. If you are, make sure that you talk to one of us. Talk to someone in the church this morning before you leave. We as a church would love to journey with you. Do you, like the salespeople at the temple, live for money? As Matt talked about earlier, do you have money as the Lord of your life? Does money and finances control what you do? What comes first when you are making decisions? I challenge you, if this is you, allow Jesus to overturn this in your life and turn your eyes upon him. This is a bit of a strange one, but are you like the fig tree that does not produce fruit? In John 15, 1-4, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I know that Jesus is talking about a grapevine here and not the fig tree from the passage, but I think it is still possibly saying the same thing. Remain faithful to Jesus and he will remain faithful to you. If you are feeling like life is not really doing much for you, you are unable to produce good fruit and things are really tough, I encourage you to stick to the vine. Keep Jesus as the foundation for your life and grow out of him. The way, the truth, and the life he brings so that you might live eternally in the Father's garden. Are you like the chief priests, the teachers of law, and the elders in this story that are always questioning and doubting? Do you struggle to look past what you can see in life? You're all about the facts. Are you living a lie where only God can see what's really going on? Allow Jesus to work in your heart. Let him in. Let go of any self-appointed righteousness you may have and come to the King. There is one last part of the story I want to talk about. Are you coming to Jesus like the children, excited to see the coming Messiah? In Matthew 18, 3-5, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Jesus tells us to have a childlike faith, where we are coming to him excited and ready to do what he asks of us. We have heard from Matt earlier in the service about some practical ways that we can serve. We can glorify God, which is part of our vision as a church. Jesus came as a servant into Jerusalem, as I said earlier, ready to lay down his life for all creation. As followers of Jesus, we must be willing to serve and use our lives for God's glory. As I begin to wrap up, let me say, life is hard, especially a life following Jesus. If anything, to remain faithful is a lot harder. It doesn't get any easier. I could probably relate to each one of these elements of this passage at some point in my life. If you are struggling in your faith at the moment, if something else other than Christ lords over your life, don't let that be the end. Endure through the hardship you are facing and remain faithful to God. Sometimes you can learn so much from the hardships you face, the struggles you are going through. God is at work through all of it. Allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Let the Son of God, who came as a baby for us, died on a cross for us, and rose from the dead as King for us, be at the center of your life. Come to him with a childlike faith, excited, shouting praises of his name, believing in the authority Christ has and you have as his follower. Let me pray. You are our King, Jesus. Help us to remember that and hold onto the truth you bring. When doubts and unfaithfulness creep into our lives that turn us away from you, that is when we need you the most. Help us through our trials and hardships to endure a life and live a life faithful to you. Help us not to cling to our money, the money we have in our bank accounts, or the things we own. Instead, help us to cling to your word and cling to the life found in you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for being by our side, even when things are awesome and when things suck. Thank you that you are working in our world, even when we cannot see it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.